Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. So we're very happy for the presence of each of you this morning. We appreciate your presence so very, very much. We also welcome those that are in the parking lot this morning, also those that are live streaming. We appreciate so much your listening today. It's good for us to be here. It's a beautiful day, and we appreciate the fact that we have another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we take this opportunity, especially this, the first day of the week, to worship and to honor our God. This particular passage, the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 that I just read, I think this is a very familiar passage to most of us. Certainly, the image that I'm using there, there are a number of images like this that are pretty famous about Jesus knocking at the door. I think most of us would, in reading this particular passage, realize that this is a passage concerning the door of our hearts. That Jesus is indeed knocking at the door of each of our hearts. And we make a choice. We make a choice as to whether or not we open that door and allow Jesus to come in. So if I might just say it this way, most all of us have some kind of security system, or we have doors that might have windows or so forth. And if someone came and they... we'd want to know who it is. So we would look out and we would see whoever it is, and that would probably determine whether or not we answer the door. And whether or not we would recognize Jesus knocking on the door, let's assume that you do recognize Him. Let's assume that you know that it is Jesus. Would you open the door? Well, I think most of us would pretty quickly say, well, yeah, I would answer the door. What if we knew why He was there? Why He was knocking on the door? Would we answer the door? And why would He be knocking on the door? Well, He wants to tell us something. And what does He want to tell us? It might be commendation. It may be condemnation. It may be a little of both. Would you answer the door? Well, Jesus calls us today through the gospel. We learned that from passages like John chapter 6, 44 and 45. And our Lord said this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And everyone who has heard and has learned from the Father comes to me." So one of the interesting things we learn about Jesus knocking on the door of each of our hearts, that today Jesus talks to us, yea, knocks at the door of our hearts by means of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed this passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, and verse 31? Jesus says, "For in the resurrection..." Or excuse me, verse 31. "But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying..." And then he quotes in verse 32, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse 6. Now what is interesting about that is that Jesus is speaking to the people, and he's saying, "Have you not read from the book of Exodus what God is saying to you?" So the interesting thing about that is that we know today that God speaks to us through His Word. So the Word of God, if you will, is Jesus speaking to us and knocking on the door of our hearts. Will we open the door? Will we answer? In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul used that very imagery with the idea that the Thessalonians had been called by his gospel. And that is, the gospel has a call. The gospel call. That is, Jesus uses the gospel to knock at the doors of people's hearts. He speaks to us. What will your answer be? It's frustrating when somebody you call doesn't answer the phone. It's frustrating when you leave a voicemail, they don't return your call. It's frustrating if you text them, they don't return the text. It's frustrating if you email someone, they don't email you back. But I tell you what's really frustrating is if you're talking directly, personally to someone, and they don't even act like you're talking to them. They just don't respond. Would we really do that to the Lord? I'm afraid we do. I'm afraid that the Lord does knock at the door of our hearts, and we don't answer Him. You see, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ for us today, is God's call. What will our answer be? Well, some fishermen, they answered and followed Jesus. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, it's pretty interesting here the way Mark records this. In verse 16, "And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed him." Now what is interesting there, these men had jobs to support their families. Jesus comes along, says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they start following him. Rarely does anyone who is not a Christian hear just a few brief words from Jesus as he knocks at the door of their hearts and they immediately obey. These fishermen did. His brothers, however, did not. We find in the book of John, chapter 7 and verse 5, that his own physical brothers, born of Mary, did not believe in him at first. But we also find in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 14, his brothers are part of the 120 that gathered on the day of Pentecost. So here's an example of someone that was around Jesus and saw Jesus, heard the things that he said and saw the things that he did, and they didn't believe him at first. But after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they believed in him. So with some people, it takes a little bit of time for them to become a believer. In other words, Jesus is just knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, and his own brothers didn't answer the door. But finally they did. Finally they let him in. And James, one of his physical brothers, becomes one of the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. You've probably known of people that obeyed the Lord late in their life. That's okay. The problem is, you're taking an awful chance of either dying or the Lord returning before you make up your mind. The Jews rejected him. We find in John chapter 1 that his very own people rejected Him. There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. And He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. Those of His own blood. But there were many others that did believe. But as many as received Him, to Him He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. You know, it's interesting. You just cannot ever really bank upon who will hear and listen and obey and who won't. There were some Jews that were just adamantly against Jesus. And they killed Him. And there were Jews that He was their everything. There are people that you know that are good people, but they are not believers. They're not obedient. And yet Jesus knocks at the door all the time to them. But they just don't open the door. They don't let Him in. Nicodemus believed in Him. In John 19, we find that while he was one that came to Jesus at night, in John 3, later, after the death of Jesus, he and Joseph of Arimathea, both members of the Sanhedrin, they get the body of Jesus and prepare it and bury Him. Now that would have taken great courage. That would have demonstrated outwardly their faith as believers in Jesus. Nicodemus did that. The woman at the well believed in Him. John 4 is a great study. We've looked at that a few times. How that she was a woman of a bad past. A bad present. The last person on the earth that any of us would ever dream or thinking about that Jesus would even knock on her door. But He did knock on her door. And you know what she did? Being the bad person she was, she opened the door. And Jesus came in. And they dined because she believed in Him. Judas stopped believing in Him. He was one of the 12. He started out believing in Jesus. He saw all that the other disciples saw. He heard all that the other disciples heard. He was there as all the other disciples were. And yet he, one of the 12, was greedy, betrayed the Lord for money. And yet the whole time, Jesus is knocking on his door. Judas was a believer and then he stopped believing. Martha believed in him. In John the 11th chapter, one of the great chapters of the Bible about the resurrection of Lazarus. Begin reading with me in verse 20 of John 11. Martha therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet Him. But Mary still sat in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. You back up a few verses and you find that when Lazarus becomes sick, Mary and Martha send for Jesus. But Jesus delays in coming until after He's dead. In verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Martha is a great believer in Jesus. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. What does she believe? What does she know? She believes and knows a lot. She has listened to Jesus preaching and His teaching. And she has a great faith in Him. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Don't you think it's interesting? Jesus is asking a believer, do you believe? Why would he do that? Did you know that believers, Jesus knocks on your door too? Jesus knocks on the door of believers to believe more and to believe more. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Does she believe? Absolutely. But Jesus keeps knocking on the door of her heart to believe more. Pilate did not believe. When you read about Pilate, a number of times he confesses that he finds no fault in this man. And there he is in the very presence of the great I Am. And Jesus is knocking on Pilate's door. And Pilate, while he doesn't believe that Jesus is guilty of anything, yet he listens to someone else knocking on the door. You see, there's more than one person that knocks on our door. Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts, but so do others knock on the door of our heart. And so again, what will your answer be? Who will you choose? Who will you listen to? Will you open the door to someone other than Jesus who knocks on your door? You see, Pilate made an eternal mistake. He listened to the Jews and their threatening rather than listening to Jesus. And the God who created all things was standing right before him, knocking on his door. And he did not listen. The centurion believed in him. Understand, the centurion that was in charge of Jesus' death. When you go back and read the Matthew 27 account, verse 50, you find that after the death of Jesus, after he hears the seven statements that are made on the cross, when he sees that the temple curtain has been rent in two and that there's an earthquake, the centurion's response is, surely this is the Son of God. You know, for some folks, it takes a lot for them to believe. Kind of like Thomas. Thomas was a believer. Jesus dies. He no longer believed. I won't believe unless I see the imprints. Jesus appears to him. Thomas sees. And he says, my Lord and my God. Jesus commended him because he saw and believed. But Jesus also said, blessed are they who do not see, yet believe. You see, faith is the idea of believing without seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. And it's important that we understand that when Jesus knocks on the door, he's really asking you, do you believe? Do you believe in him? So when you read this great book, the challenge before all of us is when we read this book, Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts for us to believe in him. So what have we learned? We have learned that the Word of God was written so that if I don't believe, I might become a believer. The Word of God is written and Jesus knocks on the door of my heart if I am a believer so that I won't stop believing. But if I stop believing, Jesus still knocks on the door and wants you to believe again. And for those who are believing and keeping on believing, Jesus knocks at our door and says, you need to believe more and more. So Jesus knocks on our door. John said, these things have been written that you might believe. So I ask you the question today. Do you believe in Him? Now let's look at this passage one more time here in Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Certainly this is suggesting fellowship, relationship with Jesus. When we hear Him knock, we answer the door and open the door for Him to come in. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And I want to look with you, verses 14 through 22, just for a moment. And really what I have done this morning, I have really presented a very, very, very long introduction to present to you this great passage in its context. The analogy that Jesus knocks on the door of each and every one of our hearts through the gospel is absolutely 100% true. But notice the context in which this is said. If you'll notice, in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, beginning in verse 14, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea, right. This verse is a part of a letter that was written to a church. It was written to Christians. Now think about that for a moment. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice. Wouldn't Christians already be hearing the knocking at the door and opening the door and letting Jesus into their hearts and listen to Him? Brother and sister in Christ, this great passage is in the context of a people who are called Christians, who are called the church, but do not listen to Jesus. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, that is Jesus, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus knocks on the door. He bangs on the door loudly. And He says, you Laodiceans, you need to listen to me. You need to open the door of your hearts. You are lukewarm. I wish you were cold or hot. Extremes. Hot, certainly, those who love the Lord, serve the Lord with all of their being. They love the Lord with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength. They're zealous for the Lord. They're working for the Lord. A cold is the opposite of it. They make no pretense. They're not serving the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. They don't love the Lord. And they don't care who knows it. Those are the extremes. But Jesus says this church at Laodicea is in the middle. And you might think, well, you know, being in the middle wouldn't be too bad. But lukewarm, what does that mean? Well, He kind of defines it for us in verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, and you become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What kind of people are these? These are spiritual people. They are Christians. They're the church at Laodicea. But they're lukewarm. How are they lukewarm? Because they, either being deceived, think that they're okay. Well, we go to church. We read our Bible. We're Christians. We're good. They're either deceived or they're playing church. Playing church would be the idea of hypocritical. It's putting on a show. And that is pretending to be something you are not. Jesus knocks on the door of these people that are lukewarm. And He says, I know your deeds. You're not cold or hot. You're lukewarm. You make me want to throw up. I advise you, verse 18, to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And I salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here's something that is very, very important for us to understand. When people get to the point, either through deception or deliberate rebellion of hypocrisy, Jesus still loves you. Well, He doesn't love what you're doing. He hates what you're doing. Makes Him want to throw up. But He still knocks on the door. You know, for us, if we know that behind this door is somebody that is just so lukewarm, that is either just so deceived or just so hypocritical, we're not going to knock on that door. Because we're just going to justify and say, look, they don't care. Yet Jesus knocks on the door. And I would simply say to all of us, if Jesus knocks on that door, so should we. I would have never talked to the Samaritan woman, would you? Seriously. If we had known what Jesus knew, would you have talked to her? But Jesus did, so should we. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, anyone. You know the great thing about Jesus is He really does love us. And He understands that not everyone is going to hear and open the door. Not everyone's going to listen. And even when He says, I love you and I discipline you, I just want you to repent, He knows that not everybody's going to pay attention to that. But He says it anyway. And that's the great thing about Jesus. I hope and I pray, dear brethren, that none of us ever become like the Laodiceans. But I will say to you from the bottom of my heart, Jesus will still be knocking at your door. And it's up to you to answer it. So the question is, what will your answer be? What will you answer to the Lord? He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I just suppose that one of these days, we are all going to be greatly surprised. Maybe surprised that we didn't make it when we thought we were going to. Maybe that we made it when we didn't think we was going to. Maybe at the day of judgment, we'll be seeing some folks go up and the Lord say, well done. And we're going to say, are you kidding me? The Lord is going to let that guy go in? And if he's before me, we're going to say, well, no. If he gets in, I know I'm getting in. Did you know that the Lord says to this Laodicea church, which has absolutely zero commendation, only total condemnation, and Jesus says to them, if anyone's listening, hello, hello, hello,
You listening out there? Anybody? One person. If you hear my voice, come to me. That's why the Lord has me keep preaching. I've wanted to give up a long many years ago. I did. Because you preach and you preach and you preach and you preach, and people keep doing the same old thing over and over. But see, I ain't the Lord. The Lord keeps calling for you. He keeps knocking at the door. Eventually I'll become weary and quit. Retire. Die. But the Lord will keep calling you. What will your answer be? You listen very patiently this morning. And Mark's going to lead for us the invitation song, "Who at My Door Is Standing?" And if you're not a Christian, Jesus is knocking at the door. Are you rude? Are you crude? Are you ashamed? Are you embarrassed? Are you rebellious? Are you angry? Are you just a bad person? Open the door and let Him in. He will change your life. He will forgive you. Are you a Christian? He's knocking. He's knocking on the door. You think you're okay? Everything's going great? Maybe you're blind and naked and don't even realize it. Let Him in. Let Him in. Hear what He's got to say. Because He loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll help you be stronger. Are you a Christian? Are you faithful? He's knocking on your door. And He's saying, just like to Martha, do you still believe? Keep believing. Don't give up. What will your answer be? As together we stand and sing.